We're looking at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. We're in a series called Encounters with Jesus. Next week is our final in this series. And then we're going to be moving over to Ecclesiastes. And so I have never preached on Ecclesiastes before, and I've read through Ecclesiastes probably about 40, 50 times over my Bible readings over my many years of life, but never preached through or really studied that book. And so I've been listening to that on repeat and just really trying to get a grasp of what is being said, and we're looking forward to that. But today is Luke chapter 10, and we're looking at certain characters and their encounters with Jesus, and this realization that you don't just encounter Jesus and just walk away unchanged. It doesn't work that way. When you encounter Jesus, something is going to change in your heart. When you encounter Jesus, you cannot help but be left changed and moved in a different direction. And this is what we discover, especially here with Mary and Martha. Now, there's certain people in the Bible that we have reduced to one point or one sentence in their lives. One example of that is Thomas. We call him the poor guy. Give the guy a break. Like, he is such an incredible character in the Bible, and yet he has one moment where the disciples are telling him something, and he's just like, I can't, you know, unless I can put my hands on those scars, unless I can see it with my eyes. And then we go and we name it Doubting Thomas. And here, this is the same guy who we are told that when Jesus is going to see what's happening with Lazarus, they assume that they're going to die. They're going to die with Jesus. And who is it that is the first to speak up? It's Thomas. He says, okay, let's go. Let's die with Jesus. We're going to die. You know, that's not a timid, doubting Thomas. And so I would hate my life to be reduced to my worst moment. Okay, so let's not do that. But in all honesty, we do have to look at the reality of what it was that Martha was experiencing and facing, but also to recognize what a wonderful woman. What a great character. And so today, oftentimes we say, don't be a Martha. You know, we reduce it to like a personality type. You know, she's the uptight one. And then there's Mary, just soaking in Jesus, spending time with the Savior. And then there's busy old Martha working in the kitchen, yelling, being all mad and grumps because nobody's helping her. That's not fair. And so we're going to treat Martha with some dignity today. Martha was not a shallow woman. She was a woman with spiritual substance. She was a woman who, in the Gospel of John, makes one of the greatest confessions about Jesus when she says, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. She's the one who welcomed Jesus into her home in this very story that we're going to look at today. Now let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 38. It is recorded that in verse 38, that it happened as they went and entered into a certain village, a certain woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You know what? Let's give everybody a moment to turn to Luke. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Because I'm really confusing some people here. And while I'm confusing you and you're turning or you're flipping in your Bible app and you're trying to follow along with me, you're not going to hear. And this is so important. You need to hear this. Let's all stand up as we hear this. This is the word of God. Okay? We're resetting. Thank you. Thank you for calling that out. My beautiful wife, I heard that. She's telling the people around her, it's Luke. You know, don't mind him. It's Luke. Verse 38 of chapter 10. Now it happened. As they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve myself, to serve you myself? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered her and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are troubled. You are worried about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." That's the word of God. You may be seated. And so today we're going to break that down into some very simple parts. We are going to look at the many things, when good cares get out of order. We are going to then look at the one thing, and that is that we are to let Jesus correct the misalignment. And finally, we are going to look at the good portion. And that means that you are to receive before you can serve. And so, first of all, the many things. Luke says it happened that they entered a certain village. A certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And you got to notice this important fact. It was Martha who welcomed Jesus into her house. And I want to tell you this. Hospitality is not the problem in this story. We know that hospitality and serving are not a problem. We have to look at the context of this. You have to understand that there are stories surrounding this story that Luke has just told us in this gospel, that story about a certain man who was attacked on the road, and he was beaten, and he was robbed, and he was left to bleed out beside the road, and a priest passed him by, a Levite passed him by, and then a Samaritan came, and the Samaritan helped him, and he took care of him. He put some wine and oil on his wounds, and he lifted him. He put him on his donkey, and he took him into an inn, and then he paid the innkeeper, said, "Take care of him, and if he incurs any more expenses in his care, I'm going to cover those when I come back." And then Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Service is not the problem in this story. Hospitality is not the problem. In fact, in the same chapter, Jesus had just told the 70 as they went out that they were to go into people's homes and that people would show them hospitality. We learned this as we went through Hebrews. We learned this as we went through various books. It says, I think it was in 1 Peter, be hospitable without grumbling. And we are to be hospitable. This is a huge part of what God has called us to do. And so, it's dangerous for us to right away take the contrast that Jesus is offering us here and turn this into an anti-service, anti-hospitality story and just say, oh, we just got to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's the only thing we have to do. I mean, if everybody did that, there would be no Timbits back there, right? There'd be sad children. There'd be no coffee. There'd be no sound. There would be, everything would be dysfunctional. We need to serve. It's important to serve. But the danger is that good things can get out of order. You see, Martha wasn't distracted with bad things. Martha was distracted with good things that got carried away on her and got out of order. And Luke says that Martha had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And I love the fact that she sat at his feet because Paul talks about sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, meaning that he was a disciple of Gamaliel. And what we're seeing here is that she was taking the posture of a student to her teacher, to the master, and that she was a disciple of Jesus. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She's not distracted by something sinful. She wasn't like, you know, eyeing up Jesus' guests, thinking there's some handsome men here. She didn't have some problem with, you know, that. She didn't have some other difficulty or problem that was inherently sinful, but what she had was a distraction with something that was extremely good, but not being done the way that we are to do what God calls us to do. Sometimes we get distracted by doing good things for Jesus. It just sounds really odd. Now, how many of you have a Lazy Susan in your kitchen? Everybody have a Lazy Susan? Everybody seems to have a corner cabinet with a Lazy Susan. Martha, she didn't have a Lazy Susan, but she sure thought that she had a Lazy Mary in the living room. She's mad at this sister of hers, and you just look at this, and she's all worked up. She's upset. She's concerned, and she's thinking to herself, somebody's got to be responsible in this family. Somebody's got to do the things that need to be done. And we all can understand that feeling, can't we? That feeling of just being an adult. Our loads are just massive sometimes. Life is just overwhelming. And sometimes we can feel as we're running around. Have you ever felt this? You're running around doing all the things that you need to do, and you see somebody just enjoying the moment. Oh, it makes you angry. Because how can they be so careless and carefree when you're so care-filled and you're so worried and upset and things got to be done? And how dare they? Really, you know what? It's an indicator. You know that little thing that squeal on your car tires? Women? Your husband once, he takes his tires off and he's like, the pads were like metal on your rotors. Like, why? Did you not hear the indicator? It was just a little squeal. This is the little squeal. Here's your indicator. If you get worked up and upset because somebody else is relaxing, because somebody else doesn't have the same urgency as you have, that's an indicator that your order is misaligned. Things are getting out of control in your life. And look at the progression here. First, Mary welcomes Jesus, then she begins to serve, and then she gets distracted, and then she gets anxious, and then she begins to feel agitated, and then she feels resentment towards Mary. And this is the crazy thing. Then she takes it out on the reason for the whole event, the one she wanted to serve in the first place, and she gets angry at Jesus because Jesus should understand that Mary should be in the kitchen helping her and not sitting there doing nothing while she does everything. And she confronts Jesus. It's an incredible question. Jesus, do you not care? Can you imagine that? The one who, before he even created all things, cared enough to know that his humanity would fall, that his creation would corrupt, that they would turn and rebel on him, but still chose to create this beautiful world and chose to create people, knowing that the plan, that he would care enough, love enough to go to the cross and die for his creation, that was always the plan. He is the one who cares more than anybody else has ever cared. And Martha asks, Jesus, do you not care? I understand that question, though. I get it. Adulting is hard. It's not easy. I know. I'm looking at some of you young people who are just starting the adulting, and it's like, you know, you're not, yeah, you get it. It's not easy. One week I had Eliza and Addie over for breakfast. Eliza was up earlier than Atticus. He sleeps in. She gets up early. And she says, Paca, can you make me pancakes? I was like, yes, Eliza. So I made my Paca pancakes, and I try to make them just fluffy, just right. And Eliza was sitting at the island enjoying a pancake with real maple syrup, and it's her favorite meal, right? Eliza, she loves her pancakes almost as much as she loves lasagna. And she's eating it. She's enjoying it. She looks at me with love, and she says, Paca, isn't it great being a kid? I said, it is, Eliza. It is amazing to be a kid. But you know what's more amazing? You know what's even more funner? Is being an adult. I said, I can do whatever I want, as much as I want, whenever I want. And she looks at me, she shakes her head, and she says, Paca, be member of the police. So I guess there was one area where you can't do whatever you want. There's limitations. But I get what you were saying, Eliza. What you are communicating to me is, isn't it fantastic to not have a care in the world? You didn't have to care about how much pancake mix was left over. You didn't have to care about milk in the fridge. You just carefree, you wake up and you can just enjoy hanging out with your paca. You can enjoy eating your pancake with real maple syrup. It's such a beautiful thing. Ronnie, when I told him this story this week, he says, you know what? That reminds me of riding my bicycle. I would take off and ride my bike for hours. Not a care in the world. My only job was to enjoy creation and ride my bike. And that feeling was so amazing. And he says, and I knew this, that when I came home, my mom, Aggie, would have an amazing meal on the table. And I could eat that meal. And he says, oh, to be there again. Carefree, not a care in the world. And I love that we can give that to our kids and our grandkids. And it makes me so sad as I see my kids grow up and start to have responsibility and have those adulting cares. You grow up, and it's not easy. However, those cares aren't wrong. They're needed. You need to have cares. Not only do you care for yourself, you care for others. It wasn't wrong that the Good Samaritan, we call him good because he cared. Because Jesus said, go and do likewise. That's our example. And he was praised precisely because he cared. And so the point is that our cares need to be ordered. But Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're troubled about many things. He doesn't say, Martha, Martha. He says, Martha, Martha. You know, how do I know the tone? Because I know my Jesus. Martha, Martha. He loves her. He cares for her. And he knows that he isn't trying to humiliate her. He sees her. He recognizes. Jesus understands. And he doesn't say, Martha, Martha, none of those things you're talking about matter. It just matters that, you know how hard I worked on this teaching? You better get down here and sit at my feet. No, Martha, Martha, I get it. You care. There's a lot of things. But then he says that there's one thing. And this is my second point, is that Jesus corrects misalignment. There's one thing. He says one thing is needed. There are many things, but there is one thing. And I've told you this story before about my expensive mistake when my car was burning through tires. And I got a new set of tires because my car was going thump, 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 thump down the road. And so I took it in, brand new tires, bought the best tires, some good Michelin, high rated. 20,000 kilometers later, thump, 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 thump down the road, took my car in, and then the tire shop said, I said, are your tires warranted like 20,000 kilometers? Is that all I'm going to get out of every pair? This would be very expensive driving. And he says, no, you don't have there's nothing wrong with the tires. I mean, there is now. But you have an alignment problem. Thanks for not telling me the first time. So they sold me another pair of tires, but before they did, I paid for the $100 alignment so I could save my $1,000 tires. Or however, $800 tires, or how much I paid for those tires. It's an expensive lesson to learn. And so many times, I notice Christians, I have conversations, and I do this myself. I think that I have a tire problem. I think if I replace certain things, if I get a new to-do list, a new app that will help me, one with AI that's built in, that'll really help me, then I'll be able to manage my stuff better. I'll be able to manage my to-do list better. Some people say, you know, if only I could have a new relationship. I have a relationship problem, or I have a job problem. The problem is the job. The problem is I need to get paid more. The problem is I need more credit on my credit card. It's expensive putting new tires on when you have an alignment problem. When you have your priorities and your cares all disorganized because they're not in the right order. And this is what Jesus is doing with Martha. He's correcting her alignment. You see, the meal was not wrong. The hospitality is not wrong. Ministry is not wrong. Family is not wrong. Responsibility is not wrong. All those things that you might be anxious and stressed and so cared and worried about and thinking that you can fix by replacing certain things in your life and reordering and reorganizing, those things simply need a proper place. You see, Martha was so busy with serving that she didn't have time to listen to Jesus. And her serving has moved out of alignment with the very person that she's trying to serve. And this can happen at church. We get so busy with church stuff. I was just talking to a board member this week and just talking about how we got to keep our focus here. We can get so busy with saying, okay, we need to do all these things that we forget the one thing. We get so busy with ministry and doing all these things for the Lord that we become like the church in Revelation who has forgotten their first love. Jesus, in fact, said to them, you're doing a whole lot of good stuff. I applaud you, good stuff, but I have this against you. You have forgotten your first love. You forgot what it was all about. Be realigned with the one, with Jesus. Can happen in your homes too. Some of you have experienced this. You put so much priority of giving your children the best life that you have bankrupt yourself in the process. You have busied yourself in the process that you're so anxious that now you can't even enjoy the children for whom you're doing all the things. And the whole household is stressed out and knows it. I'm guilty. I've done these things. I do these things. This sermon is for me. And that is exactly where Martha ends up. She's doing all of this because Jesus came to her house, because she invited him. And now Jesus becomes the problem in her mind. Do you not care? Lord, do you not care? You see, all of this, doesn't it distort your view of God then? It distorts your view of the one who cares for you. And you know what? Jesus cares about you too much to simply make your plan work. Your prayer is, God, help me with all these plans. Help me with all my busyness to do all the things that I want to do. Help me to activate my plans because I'm doing this great work for my family, for my job, for my church. I'm doing all these good things, God. Help me to do my things. But Jesus cares about you too much to help you activate your plan. I was reminded of that one Sunday when it seemed that the whole church was falling apart around me many years ago, 20 years ago, and it seemed like we were gonna go bankrupt. It seemed like, you know, everybody was gonna leave and everything was falling apart, and I'm sitting there worshiping, and I felt like, you know, Martha, Jesus, do you not care? Does this not all matter to you? And I heard so clearly, does it matter? Yes, Jesus, it matters. And I kept on getting the same thing. Does it matter? And then all of a sudden, I realized what this was coming to. And it was like, Jesus, all I need is you. And at that moment, oh, the heaviness of all the cares was lifted. He cares. So Martha says, tell her to help me. And Jesus says, you are worried and troubled about many things. He doesn't say, Martha, you're a terrible woman, focusing on putting so many things on the menu, you know, like all this stuff. No, Martha, Martha, one thing's important here. The one thing, the good portion. When my kids were little, we had these plastic cups. We still have them. Atticus, you chewed them all up. But these little plastic cups, and the kids used to play with the plastic cups, and they would, you know, drum on them. They were, I don't know, they're just having fun at the table. And then they would suck it to their mouth. They would put it on their mouth, and then they'd like laughing because supposedly that's hilarious to a 5-year-old kid. And I'm trying to go around the table trying to put something good in their cup. This is no Tang or Kool-Aid, okay? We didn't serve that garbage. We had whole farm milk, raw milk, okay? All the good stuff's in there. So I'm trying to fill their cup with, and they keep moving their cups and playing with their cups, and I'm like trying to put stuff in their cups, good stuff. But they're too busy with the cups. The thing designed to receive had become so preoccupied with something else that it could no longer receive what was being offered. That's what Martha was doing. This is what we do. We're so busy with the cup. You see, Mary put the cup down. She was being filled with Jesus. And sometimes we're so busy managing the vessel, the cup, taking care of it, making it look all good. It's important things to do. Carrying the cup, decorating it, comparing it to everybody else's, worrying whether there's going to be enough for the cup tomorrow, making sure everybody else's cup gets filled, but we don't ourselves fill our cup. Oh Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. He is our portion. God himself. He wants to fill us. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. And so Jesus says, Martha, Mary has chosen the good part. I'm not going to take that away from her. And so many times we turn this message into this. Do your devotions. Read your Bible, pray every day. Amen, let's go. You know, bad people, you didn't do your devotions. I'm not saying, you know, do a little 15, 10-minute thing or even an hour a day. I'm not saying that. Yes, devotions have their place. Reading the Bible has its place. We've been encouraging you to do that for 30 years. And it's taking, memorizing, it's taking. You're doing it. We encourage you to pray, to do those set-apart times. But what I'm saying here is we need more than that. What I'm saying is this, I've heard people oftentimes, we used to preach these sermons about balance. We need to be balanced as Christians. And then we'd say joy. Remember joy, the acronym? Jesus first, other second, yourself last. Or for pastors, they would say ministry, it's, you know, God first, ministry second, family, you know, that's the order. Or no, sorry, family, then ministry. Yeah, I get those two mixed up. You know, that's the order, if you get the order right. But here's what I want to tell you today. Jesus first, Jesus second, Jesus third, Jesus fourth. Jesus is number one overall. Jesus in everything. That's going to solve. That's going to solve all of those disorders. That's going to fix the alignment. And you ask yourself, well, what does that look like? It looks like in everything, we do it to his glory. In everything, we just ask those simple questions. Jesus, am I serving you well here? Does this really need to be done? Or am I making busy work for myself? Do I hear that squeal in the back and I'm just ignoring it, hoping it's not really a problem, but it is a problem because it's getting louder in my ears. Am I bitter against the people around me who aren't as worried as I am and carrying as many cares as I am? Have I been replacing all my tires in life? Have I been just moving around that cup instead of spending time with you? And Jesus is saying, Tina, Tina, Samantha, Samantha, he's looking at you. He's saying there's many things to be caring about, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that thing, and that will not be taken from her. I mean, Peter told us, well, in our Peter series, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And that brings us back to the child riding the bicycle, little Ronnie, little Ronnie, how could he do that without a care in the world? Because someone bigger at home was paying those bills. A mom was putting food on that table. People were looking out for him. And you have the God who cares about the sparrow, the God who knows everything about you. In his book, all your days were written when as yet there was none of them. He knows, he cares, he loves you. He cares enough that you can give your cares to him. Let's all stand up and pray. Father, we are so grateful to serve a God who knows all, who can do all. You are all powerful. You are all knowing, all present. You know the beginning from the end. You have created us and knit us together in our mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Father, I thank you that you have plans and purposes for each person here, and we tend to complicate everything. God, I confess today I am the chief of complicators. And I ask that you would reorder our hearts, that you would allow us to see the importance of the one thing. And as you align our hearts with you, as you allow us to come before your feet to receive and to have our cups filled, that that will transfer into every relationship, into every task, into every responsibility. You truly say, God, that your yoke is easy, your burden is light. And in this, we know what that means. I thank you for Mary, and I thank you for Martha. I thank you, Lord, that these two women are cared for by you, and that every person in this place today is cared for deeply by you. Forgive us, Lord, for getting a twisted view of the God who cares and loves us. Help us to see that, God, you are working all things together for good to those who love you, to those who are the called according to your purpose. Help us to see that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would allow this word to stay in our hearts and minds throughout this day, week, month, and years as we live this life for you and for your glory. And Father, we pray for those this week that are recovering from surgery, for Rich Bosch, that ankle would be 100%. I thank you, Lord, for providing and bringing that all together. We ask that he would do well as he recovers. We pray for Carrie, Lord, as she goes in this week for procedure as well. We ask that, God, your work would be done inside of her body, that you would give her the perfect peace that passes all understanding. God, I thank you for what you're doing in her life and will continue to do. And Lord, for all of those who have cares and troubles and difficulties, I thank you, Lord, that you are the one that we can cast all our cares on because you care. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church to all generations forever and ever. Amen.